Hi, today is October 22nd, 2023. This is Todd Gossel-Ward, my good friend, a good Dr. John Westfall. And this is MobiView's podcast, if I'm counting right, 481. Good to see you again, John.
Getting close to a lot of things. We're getting close to 500. We're getting close to anniversary.
Yep.
There's a lot of podcasts.
Yeah. Yeah. What John's noting is that next month, November 2023, will be 15 years since I started this, when I was a full-time blogger for Think Mobile. Was it Mobile Today? Might have been Mobile Today, but it became Think Mobile later. And that was short but wonderful period of being a paid full-time blogger. I think it lasted maybe just a little over a year. It wasn't very long, but it was a lot of fun while it lasted. Then the economy, of course, tanked, which didn't help anybody. This was in 2008, 2009 period. But anyway, yeah, 15 years, nearing 500 podcasts. Actually, if you include the mini podcast, it's over 500, but we're getting there. I wanted to note today that we're trying something different that works. So I've been using Adobe Podcast Studio Beta for the last 2-3 months, I think, to record these podcasts. I really like the way it works. It's easy for people to get on. Sometimes people have problems getting on to Google Meet or Skype or, I mean, sorry, not Google Meet, but Skype or Microsoft Teams, which John and I normally use. And this seems like it has a low barrier to entry. You do need to create a free Adobe Express account if you don't already have one. But other than that, you need that in a browser and you're pretty much good to go. So we've been using that. But what it lacks is a video. And, you know, even though this is audio only podcast, I think everybody who has vision, I should say, everyone who could see, it really helps to have visual cues when you're speaking to somebody, just to kind of know, oh, their lips started, stopped moving, and it's not my turn. You know, that kind of societal visual cues. So we're using Google Meet today with video only, audio turned off, and so we can actually see each other today. So that's been kind of nice. Yeah. Otherwise, been having fun using Adobe Podcast Studio. I really like the way it handles audio. I think it does. I think I noted to John last time, I forgot what situation it was, but I think we may have been recording it outdoors. I had to lower the pitch by 4% I think I was recording with Paul Lawler outdoors. And for some reason, might have been because there was wind and people and the Adobe Podcast Studio AI was just trying too hard to get our voices to sound normal. And it did that by increasing pitch for some reason, maybe to get above the low frequency noises of the ocean and wind and that sort of thing. But that said, here we are, MobiView's Podcast 41, using Google Meet video only, Adobe Podcast Studio Beta for audio recording. And I got a pop shield from my Yealink UH37 headset mic. So hopefully you'll have less sibilance from me, because I know I am sibilant. And
I've never held it against you.
But it was cheap. It was like, I think a 3-pack for $5 or something. So well worth the money if it helps.
It's interesting. More than one, because presumably if you did that bad, then you're going to need, I don't know if 2 or 3 is going to help. I thought usually it was a one size fits all sort of thing. But
yeah. Well, you know, these foam things don't last forever. Even the ear pads and the headset go after a while. So if you look on Amazon or other places, there's a pretty big aftermarket supply of, you know, headset over the head headset ear pads and things like that. In fact, I'm not using it with this one, but I do have a really nice set from Soundcore, which is, you know, a sub of Anchor, whose ear pad just disintegrated in like a course of maybe 18 months of literally daily use, hours and hours a day before I retired. And I got a really nice replacement for it, third party replacement. It fits perfectly, it's comfortable. But anyway, yeah. So I got a 3-pack of these. We'll see how long they last. Okay, a couple of things. I don't know if you noticed, John, but there's no new iPad.
Yeah, but there is a confusing view device. I like your Apple Pencil version 0.5.
Yeah.
I guess the 0.5, didn't they have a low-end Logitech one that they were selling for a while with the base iPad that was... Maybe that's 0.25.
And of course, it's not an Apple product. This is a real Apple product.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a weird one.
Yeah. So it's called it's. So we've had the first generation Apple Pencil, the one with a really ridiculous designed lightning port, or actually lightning connector that you have to plug in lengthwise into your port, sticking out, you know, risking damage and injury. It was a great pencil. And that was Apple Pencil version one, let's call it. Then they came out with a really great Apple Pencil version two, which magnetically attaches to iPad, mostly iPad Pros, but also now the new iPad Air. Yep. Magnetically attaches and charges to, while it's attached magnetically to the iPad Pro and Air. And it's got all kinds of, it's $130. And so it's, you know, you get what you pay for. And it's really good. Oh, John, I just lost your video. But in any case, and so that came out, I don't know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, maybe more, the Pencil 2. This month, October 2023, Apple released what they're calling the USB-C Pencil, not Apple Pencil 3. And there's a good reason, and I'm calling it version 0.5. It's an Apple product. It's not a Logitech or some other, you know, approved third-party product. But it's got no magnetic charging. It doesn't have a magnet, so you can attach it to a, you know, an iPad with a magnetic edge, but it will just attach there. It won't actually charge. As the name implies, you stick a USB-C cable into it to charge it, which is nice. It's got no pressure sensitivity, no double tap. Double tap is sometimes used for undo, sometimes it's used for switching between writing and erasing, depending on how the software is set up. And it's, and no auto pairing because it's not magnetic. So you got to, you know, like any Bluetooth device, you have to go in there and pair it and somehow make it work, which I'm sure is pretty easy. So in the end, you know, it's good for note-taking. It looks, you know, it looks pretty much the same as Apple Pencil 2.0, which is very comfortable to use. But I don't, it's not for drawing anything beyond just kind of sketching in a note. Not so much sketching for art or even what I do, serious doodling. But at, I think it's $79 or $69, it's way, way, way less expensive than Apple Pencil 1 or 2. So, you know, if you're not going to be drawing, all you need is a writing and writing little diagrams or drawing little diagrams in your notes, it might be a good fit for you. And my, John and I don't need it, but I don't know, John, do you think something your students, do your students use iPads?
A few of them do, and I use my Apple Pencil every day. So I think if you didn't know what the Apple Pencil 2 could do, you wouldn't be annoyed with this new Apple.
No, not at all.
I just find it very interesting. There were a lot of high hopes I had this week when Apple rumors started flying about, you know, iPads and a new Apple Pencil. Because I don't know if you can see this, but my Apple Pencil, you can't see it on the video. It's got a bunch of little teeth marks in it at the end. That's because one of my cats enjoys stealing it. And I've thought about getting a new one because I also have an iPad mini that I would like to have an Apple Pencil for instead of always having the same Apple Pencil. Although they're very trivial, yep. Easy to switch. You just connect them up and they're fine.
Right.
So, yeah, I was shocked that we didn't get anything new. But what do you think about it? What do you really want? The Apple Pencil 2 does pretty much everything you need it to do even today. There's no real... Unless they want to add some buttons to it or different tips, which was one of the rumors. But I guess we're stuck with it for a while longer.
Yeah, and I'm not having a problem with it. You know, I think the Apple, like you, I think the Apple Pencil 2 is, you know, it's just a huge step above the Apple Pencil 1. In fact, I just grabbed the Apple Pencil 1. One of the noble things about the Apple Pencil 2 is there's no cap on, because there's no connector, and so there's nothing to lose, which is great. And in fact, even this thing, I think the cap kind of just extends out, but doesn't come off like the Apple Pencil 1. So you can't lose the cover of where you plug in the USB-C connector into the Apple Pencil 0.5. I think for students, I mean, it's still kind of expensive, right? I mean, iPad's kind of expensive too for students, but if they come out with something a little bit cheaper, maybe might be a good solution for students who prefer writing to typing, or, you know, don't want to carry an external keyboard. It's a lot lighter. What do you use yours for taking notes?
Taking notes, taking attendance, just things like that quickly on the fly in the classroom where I don't set it up into keyboard mode on my iPad, because I use my iPad for basically every class to look at my lecture notes, to take attendance. I use basically a combination of OneNote and Microsoft 365 app for most of my day in the classroom.
But yeah, you were talking about students taking notes, and I had one who sits in front of me in one of my classes, and I noticed that her iPad screen was just shattered. And I was actually pretty shocked that her Apple Pencil was still working on a shattered iPad screen. Yeah. It was. And I asked her about it. I said, you know, what happened to your iPad? And it was the victim of a puppy. The puppy jumped up on the bed and had stomped on it, and then it fell. And yeah, started with a small crack in the corner and then radiated out.
Yeah.
You got to be careful. Pets, you know, they destroy things and they steal things.
No kidding. No kidding.
I don't think bunny rabbits do either of those things. Maybe you have the best pets.
They will chew things, though. So if you know, if you have a USB-C Apple Pencil with a cable attached, and they're loose around your device, they will chew it up. But they tend to not attack devices. So yay for them, So I just got distracted because I was looking and says, oh, you know, they've got backgrounds on these. So shall I turn on a background? How's this work? Let's see. I don't know what's going on. There we go.
Well, there's a background. You're just not in it. But I like the clock there that's got a carrot as the handle. Google apparently is going for a bunny rabbit vibe here.
Well, at any rate, I shall play with that later. So I don't know, kind of interesting. And sticking with things iPhone. So, you know, I recently got my iPhone 15 Pro Max. And I think both the 15 Pro and the Pro Max both have something called an action button now, which is where the mute switch used to be. Instead of being up and down mute switch, it is now an action button. And one of the things that happened apparently is that the people who designed, third-party case designers, didn't quite get the memo. And so everybody designed how to handle it differently. Some have like a recessed hole in the case, which is really hard to press the button. And some just, you know, most did it pretty well. I just got a new case in yesterday that actually has metal buttons over the button. So it does, there's no holes, which kind of reduces the amount of dust that gets into it. And it works great. I'm really surprised. In fact, when I first put it on, I said, isn't that my button from my phone? And I took off the case. I said, nope, that's actually the third-party button. Feels great, works great, no complaints. So what's the name of this case? It's called Lamical? Lamical, I think. Just looking at the case name. And it works great. It's got little air bumpers, which are kind of nice on the on the sides to protect it. You know, presumably if you kind of drop it on the edge. Little raised ledge over the cameras to protect it as you put it down. So I'm really happy. It's, I think, like $20. It's not too expensive. Way less expensive than the Apple case. Or the cases that sold by the Apple store, which are like $50, $60. Easy. Always. Even the little silicone ones that look like they should be $10. But anyway, but when you do buy a case for your new iPad, iPhone 15 Pro, be careful with, and take a look at how the button situation is with the case if you can before you decide. But again, I'm really happy with this one. They did a really nice design thing. All right. I just read this in 9to5 Google. You use Google Photos, as I recall.
Well, I did when it was auto backup. Now I just have a bunch of old ones in there. Yeah.
Okay. In the old days, like 2 weeks ago, if you tried to, I rarely shoot in RAW for photo format on my cameras when I used to use cameras. But I noticed that the few RAW photos I took could not be backed up automatically to Google Photos at the time. And I had to and they're big, right? Even by today's standards. And so I would, you know, manually upload the few dozen or so I took just to have backups. But now Google Photos will always back up raw images. And this might be a problem if you have a low-end Google, you know, Drive storage, a Google Cloud storage account. I just had to recently up mine from 100 gigabytes at, what did I pay? $20 a year? I think I had to pay a whole $10 a year more, $30 a year to get 200 gigabytes of storage. And again, I don't shoot much in RAW. I did start shooting a little bit in the, what is it called? The new Apple format for HEIF, H-E-I-F, Pro or something, which is not as huge as RAW mode, but, you know, preserves a lot of the data better. Be careful if you shoot in RAW. You might find you're out of drive space all of a sudden, you know, those 25 and 50 megabyte files starting to pile up in there. Yeah. And the last thing I wanted to mention, I guess, is USB-C extension cables. You know, I've been buying a couple of them because I have a hub. I have an anchor hub I really like. It's got a soldered in USB-C cable, I guess, for stability. Almost all the hubs do that. So it's got a USB-C PD port that you plug in, a power adapter into. But the USB-C out with power and data is soldered in. And it's short. It's like 6 inches.
Yep.
And so, you know, sometimes it's just not convenient to reach to my notebook or whatever else. I've bought a couple of USB-C extensions, some kind of long, some kind of short. And I should note that the last two I got were free. So thank you. there are samples for review. But the thing I noticed is that not all USB, and everybody knows this, I think, but for extensions too, not all the USB-C extensions are the same. You would think they would all be the same because they're extensions. So you would think they'd all be designed to pass power, pass data, blah, blah, blah. But I found that some don't pass the data from a microphone on a USB-C hub to my MacBook. We ran into that first time I started doing it that way. And I had to change cables, or I had to take it off and just kind of cinch it, bring the hub really close to my MacBook. Some don't pass data from a USB thumb drive in the USB-A port on a hub, and some do. The newest one I got does, thankfully. And is that what I'm using right now? I think that's what I'm using right now. And just a lot of weird things like that that just don't work under certain situations. So I am hoping that the various cable makers will kind of start labeling things somehow. Like some say it's power only. You know, which is fine. Or some say, I don't think I've seen a data only, but some say this is only for power, to plug into your MacBook or Windows PC or whatever. But it's not clear just by buying stuff. And so fortunately, the extension cables are not too expensive, generally speaking, sort of the $8 to $15 range. But, you know, if you start buying a couple of them, it starts adding up.
Well, it makes me think of the USB-C oddities and oddness that we still see today, even though USB-C has been in the wild for quite a while now.
Yeah.
I have a Zendura charging station over here that's got it's a 100-watt charging station. It is designed for you to charge devices. It's got two USB-Cs and two USB-As out. And the USB-A, if you plug in something, nothing weird happens. But if you plug in a second USB-C while there's a USB-C already being charged, right, then it will momentarily blip the original USB-C that was charged. So a little while ago when my camera went out, that's what happened. I plugged back in my iPad into the second USB-C port and all of the peripherals connected to my USB hub blinked because is the cable that's going from the Zendura over to my USB-C hub. And I don't know if that's the hub's problem necessarily, or if that's the power bank's problem. But of course, there's no easy way to test this without extra equipment to try out. So, yeah, but it's just interesting how crazy USB-C still can be hit and miss, having been around and in the wild for 10 years now.
By the way, as John was speaking, I think I was blinking in and out of Google Meet's video feed, because I was trying to test Google Meet's video filters for, you know, blur and background images, and none of them work. Every time I try to use one, it just goes blank. So
yeah, well, you just you can't be fancy. You're stuck being you.
Yeah. I wanted to put a nice background behind me, but oh well. Such is life. First world problems. You know, we should be so fortunate to only have those kind of problems in life. Anyway, John, anything else interesting you got? It's
other than food poisoning. Then no, there's nothing too interesting, which I did find interesting. I've been dealing with this for about 24 hours now, but it really is interesting how food poisoning, and I guess all illnesses, but this one really did it. I had no desire to use my phone or any technology. There was not a form of technology enticing enough for me to not just, last night my wife was going, well, yeah, maybe you could distract yourself.
Right.
No, there is absolutely no distraction right now that is useful to.
Yeah, I
to hear not you. Know that my stomach is somersaulting and all these other things.
So. It is an amazing realization, isn't it, that technology is not everything, not even close.
Well, and I will not get into graphic detail, but you know, there are two ways that your body gets rid of things that it doesn't like hanging in you, and neither of them are all that great. But the way that you think of in terms of food poisoning, with it returning from whence it came, that is an amazing system in the body. When you think about how your body is able to override a ton of different systems in order to allow you to reverse the flow of the system,
right?
And so if you've never really thought about that, it might bring you some solace the next time you're forced to do it, to realize that it is quite amazing what your body is able to do in order to allow you to return from whence something came.
Yes, yes. And it does it in a very unpleasant way, generally speaking.
Yeah.
Just to remind you not to ever do that again.
Whatever it was. Yes, yeah. Whatever you ate, don't eat that again. Yeah. Don't do that one again.
Yeah, it's the body's way of doing like a battleship klaxon, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, you sound a lot better, John. So I'm glad it's nearing the end of its. I was going to say run, but maybe that
wasn't right. I mean, I think it has near the end of that. So yeah, it was not enjoyable, but you know. I think once or twice in life, having this happen to you does make you extremely grateful for the normal flow of operations that we all take every day when it comes to food and digestion.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. So true. So true. Hey, before I forget, was it you that ordered the fancy new Apple Watch 9?
Well, I have the Apple Watch Ultra.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, I've been very happy with that. Actually, I was very happy with the battery life. That was the big problem with my Series 6.
Yeah.
If you remember, it was lasting barely a day.
Yeah.
Maybe a whole day if I got lucky. I've taken to, because I have the cat that steals things, and he really likes to steal my watch, I've started charging it in the mornings at work. I'll take the charger, throw it in my bag, and that fast charger is miraculous. It can charge the whole thing in an hour or under an hour, from 18 or 15% all the way to 100. So,
right.
But I don't even need to get it all the way to 100. I could easily get it to just 60 or 70, and it'll be fine for the next day and a half.
Now, is your watch charging all the way to 100%, or is it stopping at 80% because of adaptive charging?
So far, it's always gone to 100, but I'm also making a concerted effort not to throw it on the charger as much as I used to with the other Apple Watches.
Yeah.
Just, you know, try to be nicer to the battery.
Yeah. In fact, you know, I've still got my Apple Watch Series 6. And like you, I've been experiencing some, well, you know, it's a couple of generations old now. Like you, I've been experiencing some battery issues going all day. So what I did was, thing number one is I turned off the always on display. So now I have to like turn my wrist like a, you know, like a animal to see my watch. It's not that bad. Again, first world problem. So I actually have to move my hand to see my watch face, which is fine, to preserve some battery. And I noticed that after the recent Apple Watch OS update that it was charging only to 80%. And in fact, on the charger, I think when the little green line comes on the watch, it shows a little notch at the 80% mark of my watch to let me know that it's doing adaptive charging. But after about a week or so of doing that, it stopped doing it. And I don't know why. I mean, I didn't change it. I left it at, I said, oh, fine, do adaptive charging.
I noticed that at the very end of my Series 6. That it was doing that too, where it would sometimes go to adaptive, sometimes it wouldn't.
Yeah.
The Ultra, my big accomplishment last week, and I've been taking it out occasionally as the only device with my AirPods for my walks or runs in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I got a full 48 hours before I got it down to about 14% and had to charge it.
Wow.
So that was two workouts and using it regularly, and it is very good on battery life compared to what I was used to with the Series 6.
Yeah, I can get maybe 16 hours of watch use until it drops down to, below 20% charge or below 15% charge. Oh, also, I have the first gen AirPods Pro. I think you have the second. Have you noticed that if the adaptive noise cancellation is working, so, you've got noise cancellation on unless somebody's talking to you and
Yeah, I've used all of those features, and I find it really funny because the adaptive one is, of course, if it's done right, you don't realize that it's happening.
Ah, right.
And I do think that that is working right, because on my morning exercise routine, I do pass by two street sweeper vehicles mm-hmm. that are very loud, and so I was usually putting them into noise cancellation mode as I'd go past them. Right. Just so that I could still hear what I was listening to.
Right.
Because if I didn't, I couldn't hear what I was listening to at all. And I haven't had to do that. So whatever it is doing, it is ramping up the noise cancellation gradually enough as I approach those vehicles where I don't really realize that it's doing it. And then as the vehicles leave, it's ramping it back down and going back to the conversational awareness. So it is very nice.
I didn't realize it did it in that direction, too. I thought it was, like, always on, so you're always in noise cancellation mode, and then it ramps down. I didn't realize it would ramp back up.
No, the adaptive mode is complete, you know, all the way from transparency when you're just out and about to noise cancellation when you're around something loud. And it has been very nice when I am talking, you know, I'm out on the walking trail and someone will want to talk to me, which I don't know why people want to have long conversations when you're exercising, but it happens. It is nice that the as soon as I say something, it will lower the volume and even turn off the podcast if I continue to talk.
Right.
That helps a bit. The only problem that gets me is when I get home, I'll occasionally talk to my cats and they're not going to respond. So I really don't need the AirPods to lower and pause, but they do anyway. So they don't know the cats.
Well, that you know of.
Yeah. Maybe they're I guess this is good. Cats. This is letting me know if they are or not. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And someday they may accidentally say something and go, oh, wow, you can talk.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, crap. I thought when you had those things and you couldn't hear me.
All righty. Well, I think we'll cut it short today so John can get back to convalescing, although you sound pretty good, John. I hope you feel better very, very soon. This has been Mobile Views Podcast 481, and the good Dr. John Westfall and I will talk to you later.